Today, the hard disk drive industry and its big three companies, Seagate, Western Digital, and Toshiba, are in decline. The solid-state drive, or SSD, is on the rise. SSDs are faster, more reliable, and consume less power. Something that began 30 years ago with replacing audio tapes and telephone answering machines, remember those, has grown to power a $60 billion market. HDD unit volume sales will never be as they were before. Consumers no longer buy HDDs for their iPods, laptops, or even desktops. Sad. But the HDD's march towards oblivion has been arrested by a new market, growing demand from enterprise companies storing data for nearline storage. Nearline, referring to data that the customer needs accessible, but not so frequently nor immediately. This market is real. Companies in all sorts of fields are producing data at a far faster rate than they can afford to store it. HDDs and their cheaper per-bit storage costs are part of the answer. But that answer has recently hit a knot, thanks to a triple gridlock of technical problems that ended the HDD string of data capacity gains. Worse yet, the industry is struggling to push the technology forward. In this video, we look at HAMR, MAMR, and the uncertain future of the hard disk drive industry. This video is brought to you by the Asianometry Patreon. It's one of the better ways to support the channel, and early access members get to see new videos first and selected references too. Early access really helps a lot, and I appreciate every pledge. Thank you, and on with the show. The hard disk drive has worked largely the same since IBM first shipped the RAMAC. Data is stored in digital bits on a thin magnetized film of material laid on top of the disk drive's platter. These bits are arranged in concentric circles, or tracks. Each bit is made up of a randomly packed cluster of very small, irregularly shaped magnetic grains. Typically, each grain is about 5 to 15 nanometers wide. The randomness of the grain is a feature, not a bug. It avoids the need for expensive lithography work. During operations, the platter spins at a range of 1,200 to 7,000 plus revolutions per minute. The read-write magnetic disk head flies just a few nanometers over both sides of the platter, reading bits or writing them. The reading is done by sensing the magnetic field existing at the poles of the bit. The writing is done by projecting an external magnetic field to reverse that polarity as needed. In the 50 years since the hard disk drive first came out in 1957, the number of bits we can stuff onto each square inch has gone up by over 300 million times. This is measured using something called areal density, or AD. AD is calculated by multiplying the number of tracks per inch, track density, by the number of bits per linear inch of track, linear density. To demonstrate, the original RAMAC had a track density of 20 bits and a linear density of 100 bits. Therefore, its AD was about 2,000 bits per square inch. Since the RAMAC, areal density has grown by leaps and bounds. In the first 10 years, by 50%+ each year. Then, in the 20 years from 1970 to 1990, density increases, slowed down to an average of about 25% a year. Then in 1988, a pair of physicists discovered something known as giant magnetoresistance, a quantum effect that allowed companies to make the read-write heads far more sensitive. The two physicists, Frenchman Albert Fert and German Peter Grunberg, later won the 2007 Nobel Prize in Physics for their discovery. Giant magnetoresistance combined with thin film recording media, which is the method of coating the HDD platters with a thin film, revived areal density scaling throughout the 1990s. Soon, the industry's products were reaching 100 billion bits per square inch. When the impact of giant magnetoresistance started petering out after the turn of the century, the hard disk drive industry went through another major transition, the move from longitudinal to perpendicular magnetic recording. For decades, the bits on the platter were magnetized in a direction lateral to the recording medium. So, if you can imagine looking at the platter from the side, holding it up to your eyes, then the direction would be horizontal, going left or right. This scheme is known as longitudinal magnetic recording, or LMR. It carried the industry basically since the device's invention. But as the 2000s came along, the industry realized that LMR had a fundamental endpoint. First, if two neighboring bits happen to have opposite magnetization directions, then they can interfere with one another. Second, and more importantly, they hit something called superparamagnetic limits. Each bit is made up of a cluster of magnetic grains. I already said this. We scale by either shrinking those grains or putting less grains in each bit. But when the grains are too small, then their ability to store data destabilizes. The energy threshold, or coercivity, to flip the bit lowers to a point where it can be reached by ordinary thermal energy. This corrupts the data. The superparametric limit placed a hard cap of about 100 billion bits per square inch on the aerial density of the LMR type HDD. So the industry moved to a new paradigm known as perpendicular magnetic recording, or PMR. PMR is where each bit is magnetized in a direction perpendicular to the plane, so up or down, rather than right or left. The scheme was first thought up by Professor Shunichi Iwasaki back in 1975, but it took nearly 30 years to bring to the commercial market. In December 2004, Toshiba announced a pair of HDDs with perpendicular magnetic recording. These tiny 1.8-inch drives can store 40 and 80 gigabytes of data at an unprecedented 133 billion bits per square inch. This was a major breakthrough, and the perpendicular magnetic recording transition of 2005 and 2006 remains the HDD's last major technological transition. The perpendicular magnetic recording paradigm, and its close sibling, the shingled magnetic recording paradigm, scaled aerial density to a staggering 1.2 trillion bits per square inch. The big problem, however, is that the industry first hit that number sometime in 2015, some 8 years ago. Remember, a few decades ago, aerial density used to scale at a compounded annual growth rate of 30 or even 60%. Companies have compensated for this stagnation in aerial density in part by adding more disks and heads for larger capacity HDDs. One recent product in 2022 and 2023 was a 22-terabyte HDD with 10 platters. Back in 2013, we had 7 platters. Obviously, this approach has limits, particularly regarding how thin we can make the platters. Aerial density remains the most efficient way to scale HDD storage capacity. This stagnation comes at a time when the aerial density of SSDs continues to skyrocket, thanks to new innovations like 3D NAND. 176-layer 3D NAND aerial densities are hitting 6.4 trillion bits per square inch. Yes, SSDs tend to cost more, but if you include the device's other advantages, like smaller size and especially lower power usage, then the price per bit gap between the two might not be as great as first seems. Ergo, HDDs must resume scaling their aerial density numbers, or else their per bit cost advantages will erode. The problem with that, however, is the trilemma. The trend of achieving aerial density scaling by either shrinking the grains themselves or reducing the number of bits in each grain cannot continue. The grains are at their superparamagnetic limit, which I mentioned earlier. If they go below that size, then there is a reasonable expectation that the bits will start randomly flipping again from ambient thermal energy, corrupting data. So shrinking grains is out. Okay then. So how about we instead cut the number of grains per bit? In that case, you must now wrangle with the issue that not all the grains inside the bit cluster agree with one another. Fewer grains per bit causes the bit to be more subject to randomness, hurting what is called signal-to-noise ratio. A low signal-to-noise ratio compromises data error rates. So now what? There's one last thing that I've not yet mentioned so far, and that is changing the grain's material. Change it to something more resistant to thermal energy fluctuations, for instance, alloys of iron and platinum. In other words, materials of higher coercivity. The biggest problem with this is higher coercivity grains need more energy to flip, and unfortunately, traditional read-write heads cannot generate and focus a powerful enough magnetic field to flip said bit. They've hit their limits with magnetic saturation fields of about 2.4 Tesla, and by that I don't mean the car. So it means we are in a bit of a pickle here. This triple problem is known as the trilemma and has been dogging the HDD industry for a long time. This is why it has been so hard to keep pushing aerial density gains forward. The way the industry sees to break out of this vice grip of technologies is something called energy-assisted recording. The concept is that we make the switch to a newer, more thermal-resistant magnetic grain material. This allows us to continue shrinking the bits and scale areal density. But what about the higher coercivity issue, and the problem with the read-write heads? Well, here's the solution. We deliver extra energy to the bit in question. This temporarily lowers the bit's coercivity, thus allowing the magnetic field to flip it. I am somehow reminded of chocolate. Maybe it's my diet. But when chocolate is cold, it is difficult to manipulate or cut into. However, when you add energy to that chocolate in the form of heat, it softens, which makes it easier for us to do things with it, like put our fingers into it or something. The industry largely agrees on this energy-assisted magnetic recording approach for the next generation of hard drives. The issue is that they have been waiting on it for a long, long time. For over a decade, Seagate and Western Digital have been working on something called heat-assisted magnetic recording, or HAMR. HAMR uses a laser, yes, a gosh darn laser integrated right into the read-write head, or HAMR head. A laser is fired to locally heat up a very small spot on the platter to temperatures of over 400 degrees Celsius. This spot is very small, at least 10 by 60 nanometers wide, for 1 trillion bit per square inch areal density. This is smaller than most lasers' wavelengths, so the beam must be focused using a device called a near-field transducer. After the data is written to the bit, the heated spot cools down in a nanosecond, and the coercivity of the spot returns to its prior levels. The ideas behind HAMR date back to a 1954 RCA patent, but the concept as it is being used today was independently invented by two Japanese scientists in 1999. As with any change in technology so drastic, producing a commercial working device can be challenging. Integrating the laser into the head, properly syncing it with the head's read-write actions, and preventing the laser from also affecting other areas on the platter, the whole platform has to be basically redone. In 2012, Seagate's CEO gave a presentation hinting that HAMR was coming, likely in 2014. A year later, 2013, WD displayed one HAMR prototype during a conference in China, though they didn't quite say when it would be available. Both companies predicted that HAMR would increase areal density to 1, 2, or even 5 trillion bits per square inch, upon which a new nanoscale technology would take over, bit-patterned media, a very intense nanoscale methodology that stores data on 1-bit islands created using nano-imprint lithography. Sounds like a plan. But HAMR-enabled drives kept being delayed. In 2015, Showa Denko, or SDK, which makes the platters for HAMR, delayed shipment until 2018. At around the same time, Hitachi, then a subsidiary of Western Digital, began introducing helium-sealed HDDs. Since helium has less density than regular air, the drive platters can be made thinner. This prolonged the existing perpendicular magnetic recording paradigm. In addition to the platters, the industry struggled to find a suitably reliable near-field transducer, the component focusing the laser light onto the tiny spot. The original transducers were made from gold, which deformed with extended use after several years. The long wait meant that the industry started to disagree on HAMR's timing to the market, and at some time in 2017, there was a split. In October 2017, Western Digital shocked the industry in announcing that their future HDDs would use a new technology called Microwave-Assisted Magnetic Recording, MAMR. MAMR is based on a 2003 discovery by Christoph Thirion, who found that an RF field pulse can help reverse a nanoparticle's magnetization. So instead of a laser, like HAMR, MAMR uses a nanoscale microwave field generated by something called a spin-torque oscillator, integrated into the read-write head. The microwave energy, 15 or 20 gigahertz, excites the cobalt-platinum alloy grains, allowing them to be switched over by the read-write head. It is definitely the far younger technology, and there has not been as much resources invested in it. But Western Digital adopted MAMR because they thought it could be more easily integrated into existing product, since it did not involve heat and so many new materials. In 2017, they were predicting production by 2019. Further down, they said that they were expecting 4.5 trillion bits per square inch areal density with MAMR by 2025, roughly equivalent to 40 terabyte HDDs. However, Seagate disagreed on inserting Mammer, arguing that Hammer had more lasting power. Down the line, magnetic grains need to get even smaller for more areal density. Can Mammer HDDs ramp up their RF fields to match? Seagate thought no, and continued on with Hammer. So for about 2 years, there seemed to be a bit of a face-off between Seagate and Western Digital on what would hit the market first, Hammer or Mammer. Considering the market was in decline, this was not a sustainable situation. So in January 2020, it seemed like Western Digital realized that it could not handle the development of multiple new technology platforms simultaneously. So Hammer returned to the roadmap. Mammer was then slotted after an energy-enhanced version of the existing longitudinal magnetic recording paradigm, which they called EPMR for energy-assisted perpendicular magnetic recording. And then after that, Western Digital pretty much stopped talking about Mammer at all. The whole thing was all very weird. The COVID years were very tough for the HDD industry as a whole. The HDD is a highly globalized product, so supply chain issues struck them especially hard. And customers overbought existing HDD, so everyone scaled up to meet demand, only to be hit again when things returned to normal. Considering all that, the silence surrounding new Hammer updates in 2021 and 2022 makes some sense. But Seagate, nevertheless, still kept on working on Hammer with its Mosaic 3 Plus platform. And it seems like in 2024, they will finally be able to ship drives and get them into users' sweaty hands. Hammer's launch would be coming at a good time. Both companies' revenues have been hurting recently, with 2023 being an especially bad year, down some 30% from just a few years ago. I want to thank friend of the channel Paul Alcorn of Tom's Hardware for suggesting this topic to me whilst I was in Europe. The technology behind energy-assisted magnetic recording is impressive, and it definitely works, but will it save the hard disk drive industry? Disk drives face not only the SSD, but other more disruptive long-term options rising up from the depths like that Shark Meg from the Marianas Trench. They include seemingly obsolete storage technologies like optical disks or magnetic tape. Yes, magnetic tape, the OG storage medium that predates even the computer itself. Magnetic tape might take a while to access, but it remains cheap, reliable, offline, and energy efficient. And thanks to R&D imported from the hard disk drive industry, ironic, it too has vastly expanded its storage capacity. Some of these tape cartridges can store some 20 terabytes. There's a great article in IEEE Spectrum about this technology. Go check it out. Everything old is new again. There's even a left-field contender with DNA storage. The technology remains immature, maybe we'll do a video about it later, but there are huge advantages in storage capacity, energy usage, and retention. These technologies challenge the industry's remaining players. Hammer has been the HDD's EUV. If it does not deliver the same technological benefits as EUV did for semiconductor scaling, then another painful round of consolidation might be ahead. Alright everyone, that's it for tonight. Thanks for watching. Subscribe to the channel, sign up for the Patreon, and I'll see you guys next time.